Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Real ghost stories from real people. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
It's late at night and you're sitting alone in a room, the soft hum of the world outside fading into the background. You glance over your shoulder just for a moment, but something seems off. The shadows don't quite sit the way they should, and there's a lingering chill in the air that you can't explain. It's in these quiet moments that we begin to question, what's really lurking in the dark? What unseen forces walk among us just beyond the threshold of our understanding? Tonight I'm going to take you through a story that blurs the line between what's real and what's not. It's the story of a son, his father, and a home that refuses to let go. The kind of home where grief lingers long after the body is gone, where memories seem to seep out of the walls and into the very air you breathe. A place where the living are left to wrestle with something far more unsettling than death itself. The question of what happens after we go. What would you do if you felt someone's presence long after they were gone? Someone you loved, someone you lost. And what if that presence didn't leave you? What if it came back? Let's get to the letter, they write. Dear Tony, it was the spring of 2006 when the weight of grief first began to settle into my bones. I had been living in a modest apartment in Thane, a developing area of Mumbai, where the clang of construction was constant and the air always carried a faint smell of dust. My flat was situated in a newly built building, and though the concrete walls were still fresh, the place already held the uneasy stillness of abandonment. The area around the building was yet to be fully developed. The market road was just a few steps away, and I could hear the familiar sounds of the busy streets below from my first floor window. But inside the apartments, everything felt strangely quiet, almost too quiet. It was my second job, working late hours for a travel company. My shifts began at 5 p.m. and ended around 1:30 a.m., and the company provided transport to take me home. It was always a long night, full of the chaos of tourists and the pressures of deadlines, but I never minded. I learned to keep my head down and focus on my work, a means of escaping the weight of my reality. But one night, everything changed. I had just finished my shift and was walking home when my phone rang. It was my mother. Her voice trembled as she spoke. "Something's wrong with your father." I didn't ask questions. My heart sank, and before I knew it, I was running through the streets. Cars were not allowed on the narrow market road, so I had to make my way on foot. I ran about 100 feet before reaching home, my body trembling with fear, though I didn't know yet just how deep that fear would run. When I walked through the door, I saw my father lying unconscious on the floor, my mother kneeling beside him, crying hysterically. The sight hit me like a punch to the gut. I could barely comprehend what was happening. My mind raced, but all I could think of was how, in that moment, everything seemed to go blank. My father had suffered a heart attack a couple of years prior, but this felt different. This was sudden, final. It was as though the universe had pulled the rug out from under me. I pulled myself from the trance and rushed to my father's side, trying desperately to bring him back. I pumped his chest a few times, praying that it wasn't too late. He coughed, a weak, rasping sound, and I felt a glimmer of hope. I lifted him in my arms, hoping we could make it to the doctor in time, but then, just as quickly as the hope arrived, it disappeared. My father collapsed once again in my arms. His body went limp, his breath shallow and faint, and I knew deep down that it was too late. The next 15 minutes were a blur. We rushed him to the hospital, but the doctor's grim face as he stepped out of the examination room told us everything. My father was gone. "A heart attack," the doctor said. I don't think I could process the words. I felt numb, like I was floating in a thick fog. My mother cried in agony beside me, and I tried my best to hold it together for her, but inside I was shattered. The rest of the family arrived, and they decided to take my father's body to my grandmother's house for the final rites. The rituals that followed were ceremonial and necessary, but they felt hollow, mechanical. We completed the paperwork at the hospital and then moved to my grandmother's house, where relatives gathered to pay their respects. I couldn't help but feel like I was in a daze. I was there physically, but my mind was far away, still trying to process the suddenness of it all. By the time we prepared my father's body for the cremation, I had yet to truly grasp that he was gone. It felt like an endless cycle of rituals, but inside I was still in denial. I couldn't bring myself to believe that he wouldn't walk through that door again, that I wouldn't hear his voice in the next room. I thought maybe this was all some sick joke. Maybe he would wake up, laugh, and say it was all a prank. But when we reached the cremation grounds and the pandit began the shlokas, I finally gave in to the sorrow. I mounted logs of wood on the pyre, and when it was time to give the fire to my father, I felt my heart break completely. My tears came then, uncontrollably. It was like a dam had broken, and the grief rushed in like a flood. My maternal uncle tried to comfort me, but I was lost in a sea of despair. In Hindu tradition, there are specific rites to be observed over the course of 13 days following a death. It's believed that the soul lingers in the physical world until certain rituals are completed, and only then can it be released to the spirit world. The ritual is one of the most significant, and I was supposed to go back to our home during this time to gather some belongings while we stayed at my grandmother's. I still couldn't accept what had happened. There was a heaviness in my chest, a deep, gnawing sadness that refused to go away. It was late in the evening when I decided to return home to grab the things we needed. The night had already settled in, the sky dark and clouded. I didn't bother switching the lights on when I entered. The house felt colder than I remembered, though the warmth of the summer evening should have kept it comfortable. I made my way into the bedroom where I had last held my father, and I sat down on the floor with my back leaning against the wall. I closed my eyes, trying to hold on to some semblance of normalcy, but the weight of the events kept pulling me under. I didn't know if I was asleep or not, but when I opened my eyes, I saw him, my father, standing in front of me, bathed in a soft, almost blinding light. The room was as dark as before, but there he was, unmistakable and glowing. I wasn't scared, I was confused. How could this be? How could he still be here when we had just cremated him days ago? I couldn't stop myself. I whispered, "Dad, how are you still alive?" He smiled, but it wasn't a smile I'd ever seen before. It was a soft, understanding expression, full of something that seemed beyond words. "It's okay," he said gently. "It will be fine." His voice sounded distant, as if coming from somewhere far away. "I'm falling into the light," he said, and before I could ask him anything more, everything around me seemed to shift. It was as if I had been pushed out of that moment, back into the darkness of the room. The light was gone. I blinked, and the cold air returned, heavier now. My skin prickled with the strange sensation of having been somewhere else, somewhere I couldn't understand. The tears that had been streaming down my face had dried. The house was quiet once again, and I fumbled for the light switch. The bulb flickered to life, and I saw the familiar, mundane space of my father's bedroom, now tainted by something I could neither explain nor forget. I had been there for an hour, though it had felt like only minutes. When I left the house and went back to my grandmother's, the question remained, was it real? Had I truly seen him? Or was it all just a product of my grief-stricken mind? I couldn't answer that. And the dreams that followed, those would haunt me in the years to come. The weeks that followed were a blur of mourning, rituals, and quiet desperation. My mother, lost in her grief, clung to me for support, but I could feel the walls closing in around me. The dreams began soon after that night, the strange, vivid dreams of my father. In each dream, he would appear, and I would ask him the same question, "How are you still alive?" But he never responded. He just smiled, a smile that was both comforting and haunting, as if he knew something I didn't, something that I was never meant to understand. At first, I thought it was just the normal product of my grief, my mind working overtime to make sense of the senseless loss. But as the dreams continued, I started to feel uneasy. It wasn't just the content of the dreams. It was the feeling that lingered long after I woke up. I would lie in bed, unable to move, unable to shake the sensation that something was still there, watching me from the shadows. The clock ticking away in the stillness of the room would become unbearably loud, as if the very fabric of time was being distorted. In those moments, I would question whether I was still asleep or awake, trapped in some strange half-world between the two. It was a state I would come to know too well, a form of paralysis that left me aware of everything around me, yet unable to move or speak. My body would be frozen, my mind racing with thoughts of my father, of his mysterious words, and of the unsettling sense that he was still with me in some way. Days passed, then weeks, and the dreams only intensified. The question of whether it had been a hallucination, a product of my emotional exhaustion, began to eat at me. Was it possible that the presence I had felt in the house that night was real? Could my father's spirit have somehow returned, still tethered to this world by unfinished business? I returned to the house once more in a state of quiet desperation. I hadn't been back since that night, the night when everything had shifted, when the line between the living and the dead seemed to blur in a way that left me more unsettled than I could ever have imagined. It was late again, and I found myself standing in front of the house, staring up at the dark windows, my heart racing. The air felt thick, as though the world itself was holding its breath. I stepped inside, feeling the weight of the silence press down on me. The house seemed different now. The usual creaks and groans of an old home felt more pronounced, more deliberate. I wasn't sure if it was my imagination running wild or if something truly had changed, but I couldn't shake the sense that the house was alive, alive with memories, alive with presence. I walked through the rooms, my footsteps echoing off the empty walls. The bedroom, where I'd last seen my father, felt colder than the rest of the house. The temperature dropped sharply as I stepped inside. The walls seemed to close in on me, and for the first time since his death, I felt a true sense of fear. This wasn't just grief. It was something more, something ancient, something that refused to let go. I sat down in the same spot where I had sat before, where I had held my father's lifeless body. The room felt smaller now, like it was shrinking around me. I closed my eyes, trying to quiet the storm of thoughts in my head, but as soon as I did, I felt it again. The presence, the same warmth, the same pull of something I couldn't fully comprehend. My father's voice echoed softly in my ears, as if he was standing right behind me. "I'm here," the voice said. "I'm not gone, not yet." I stood up, startled, spinning around to face the empty room. There was no one there. The room was silent once again, the air thick with unspoken words. I didn't know what to think anymore. Was this a sign, a visitation, or had grief finally driven me to the edge of madness? Days turned into weeks and the haunting continued, but now it had a new form, less direct, more insidious. The house seemed to pulse with a strange energy, like it was holding its breath, waiting for something. I would often hear footsteps behind me when I was alone in the house, but when I turned, no one would be there. At night, I would lie awake, staring at the ceiling, waiting for the unmistakable sensation of someone watching me. It was as if my father's presence lingered in the house, waiting for me to acknowledge it, to accept it. But I couldn't bring myself to do it. The uncertainty, the unanswered questions, it all became too much. Then came the final confrontation, the moment when everything changed. I had returned to the house once again, hoping for closure, hoping that if I confronted whatever was lingering there, I could finally put the past to rest. I was determined to face whatever force was still tethering me to this place. The house felt colder than ever, the air thick with a strange energy that I couldn't place. I walked through the rooms searching for some kind of sign, some clue that would help me understand what was happening. And then in the bedroom, I felt it. A chill ran down my spine as the temperature in the room dropped once again. I felt the weight of presence behind me, a feeling I had become all too familiar with. But this time, it wasn't just a vague sensation. This time I heard it, a soft whisper barely audible, as if someone was right next to me, their breath hot on my ear. "Let go," the voice whispered. "It's time." I turned around, my heart pounding in my chest. There, standing in the doorway, was a figure. It wasn't fully formed, but the outline was unmistakable. It was my father. His face was pale, his eyes hollow, but there was a softness to his expression that made my heart ache. I couldn't move, couldn't breathe. "I'm not ready to let you go," I whispered, the words escaping before I could stop them. "I can't. Not yet." The figure didn't respond. Instead, it simply smiled, a sad, knowing smile that seemed to carry the weight of all the unspoken things between us. And then, as quickly as it had appeared, it was gone. The house was silent once more. But I knew, that I had seen him one last time. I had confronted the grief, the uncertainty, and the fear that had held me captive for so long. And now there was only silence. My name is AJ Kay, and this is the story of how I lost my father, and how I learned that some connections between the living and the dead are not so easily severed. It's a curious thing, this delicate balance between the living and the dead. So often, we're told that death is an end, a final curtain, a closing of a door. But in stories like this one, it feels as though that door remains just slightly ajar, leaving a sliver of space for something to linger behind. AJ's experience, though steeped in grief and loss, raises questions that many of us have pondered, but few can answer. Can the soul of a loved one truly return to visit the living? Or are these experiences simply the result of an overactive mind, working to fill the empty space left behind by a devastating loss? It's not easy to say what was real and what was imagined. What we do know is that the emotional weight of his father's passing, coupled with the traditions of his culture, created a fertile ground for these visions, visions that blurred the line between reality and the supernatural. Psychologically speaking, grief can alter perception. It can twist our minds, making us question what is and what isn't. The brain, in its effort to cope with the pain of loss, can sometimes produce vivid, almost lifelike dreams or hallucinations. These can feel overwhelmingly real, as though we're caught in a moment that can't possibly be explained by anything less than the supernatural. But even with all that, what do we make of the fact that these encounters weren't filled with malevolence or terror? Instead, they felt like a quiet request for closure. Now, when it comes to paranormal explanations, the possibilities are just as murky. Or was it something else entirely? A force of energy, memories playing out like a film reel, desperate to be seen one last time. The feeling of being watched, the cold chill in the room, the sudden drops in temperature, all are classic signs of paranormal activity. Whether these were manifestations of a restless spirit or the result of emotional turmoil is a question we'll never fully know the answer to. But what's most unnerving is the silence that followed. The final encounter in the bedroom, the quiet, sad smile, the lingering presence feels like an invitation. Maybe not to come back, but to accept that some answers don't have to be spoken aloud. Maybe some things, like love, loss, and the thin veil between life and death, are just too complex to fully understand. So, what does this all mean for the living? It seems that the journey doesn't stop with the burial or the funeral rites. Sometimes the living are left with the haunting presence of those they've lost, a presence that can never fully be shaken. Perhaps it's a reminder that in death, as in life, the connections we share with those we love don't simply vanish. They change. They evolve. But they remain, whether we understand them or not. In the end, maybe it's not about seeking closure. Maybe it's about learning to live with the unanswered questions and accepting that sometimes the things that linger in the dark are simply part of our human experience. Think about it. If the dead can leave us with more questions than answers, perhaps the most important question is this: what will we do with the silence that remains? That's it for this episode. As always, thanks for joining me. Until next time, keep questioning, keep searching, and as always, keep listening for the answers in the shadows.
Want more real ghost stories from real people? Then press subscribe now. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org. One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at kosai.org.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Your child deserves an education that sets them up for success. K-12 knows that learning isn't one size fits all and has options tailored to each child's needs, interests, and goals for the future. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Students learn at their speed, at home, from state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today. You want your child to thrive and reach their full potential. K-12 can help them get there. K-12-powered schools are tuition-free, accredited online public schools for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. This is not your typical homeschooling. With state-certified teachers specially trained to teach online, your child will learn at their speed, at home, with innovative, engaging technology. Join the more than 3 million families who've chosen K-12. Go to k12.com/podcast to enroll today.